I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity to bring a portion of God's word to you. I'll go ahead and ask you to have your Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The idea from this sermon topic came from an email that he sent out a few weeks ago. It was about an article that a brother in Christ, a preacher actually, had sent out because he was discouraged about not seeing the responses at his home congregation. And that's what led him to write the article. And I started thinking about that article. And when I was approached to bring a sermon to the congregation, I asked Heath, I was like, do you think it's a good idea to preach a sermon like this? And it's been on my mind for a while. And he said, hey, if you want to preach a sermon like that, by all means, go for it. You have my blessing, go for it. It's something that needs preached on. And I know I've thought about it. I know a lot of people that are my friends have thought about this question. And I think it's something that needs to be discussed. So go ahead, as we talk about the introduction, go ahead and be opening in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the sermon title this morning is, Why Preach at All? And what good does preaching really do? There may not be many questions that quietly trouble the heart of a preacher more than this one. You know, why preach at all? And what good does it really do? And you might think that this sermon is geared more towards preachers and teachers, but I think we could all benefit from what preaching really does and what good comes from preaching and teaching. Many preachers have stood before congregations, preached the word faithfully, extended the invitation, and watched as no one came forward. Week after week, month after month, and sometimes even year after year. Invitation responses have declined in many places over time. There are congregations where baptisms even seem rare. Some sermons appear to pass through the room with little to no visible reaction. And because of that, many preachers, whether full-time, part-time, elders, and even men filling in rarely on occasion, have likely asked themselves this very question: what exactly is this accomplishing? The prophet Isaiah once cried out in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, before he goes into the prophecy of the suffering Savior, "Who has believed what he has heard from us?" Yes, even faithful servants of God wrestled with discouragement. Yet when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he did not say, "If the results are visible, preach." If you look at verse 2 in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." And I'll be taking my verses in scripture this morning from the English Standard Version. Notice that preaching is commanded regardless of what season it is. There are fruitful seasons, there are dry seasons, there are seasons where hearts seem open, and seasons where people seem discouraged, hardened, or even indifferent. Yet still, God said to preach the word. Why? Well, because preaching was never measured merely by visible invitation responses. Scripture shows us that God often works in ways unseen and often over periods longer than we can ever expect. This morning, let us consider three truths. Truth number one, faithful men in Scripture struggled with discouragement in preaching. We're going to quickly, and I say quickly because we only have a certain amount of time, take a look at three examples from Scripture of servants and Bible characters who struggled with discouragement in preaching. Truth number two, God never judged priestly merely by immediate visible results. And truth number three, the preached word always accomplishes something in the purposes of God. Let's take a look at the first example of a servant who struggled. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. In Jeremiah, he preached to people in Israel who largely refused to listen. He warned, he pleaded, he cried out to the people of Israel, yet the people continued in their rebellion. Listen to his anguish in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 20 and in verse 8. Jeremiah says, "For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long." Jeremiah became discouraged because preaching brought rejection instead of praise. If you go on to the very next verse, he then said, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as if it were a burning fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah wanted to quit preaching and warning the people, but he could not because the word of the Lord was such a fire within him that he could not contain it. But yes, Jeremiah wanted to quit preaching and quit warning. Why? Because outwardly, it appeared ineffective to the people of Israel. Yet centuries later, we still read Jeremiah's words preserved for us. And God preserved them because they mattered. The people may not have listened immediately, but the preaching still testified to the truth of God. Jeremiah's work was not wasted. What about Isaiah's commission? Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 in verse 9. Isaiah chapter 6 in verse 9. See, Isaiah was commissioned to preach to people, the same people that Jeremiah was commissioned to warn, the people of Israel. Isaiah was commissioned to preach to people who would largely reject the message. God told Isaiah to go and tell this people, "Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." Imagine beginning a preaching work, knowing many would refuse to even respond to the message that was given. Two verses down from there in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 11, Isaiah then asked the Lord, "Lord, how long? How long am I going to have to do this, knowing that a lot of these people aren't even going to respond to my message?" The task sounded discouraging from the very beginning. Yet Isaiah's preaching became part of the very foundation of messianic prophecy. His words pointed generations forward to Christ our Savior. The immediate audience often resisted, but the word endured. Yes, even Jesus himself faced rejection. Consider his preaching and consider the results of that teaching. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 66. After some very difficult teaching in that chapter by Jesus, towards the end of that chapter in verse 66, from that time on, many of his own disciples went back and walked with him no longer. The perfect preacher still experienced rejection. Not every sermon produced crowds. Not every listener stayed faithful. Some walked away from truth in the flesh. Yet Jesus continued preaching. Why? Because truth must still be proclaimed even when rejected. So we've taken a look at three examples of servants in our own Savior who was rejected no matter their teaching and preaching. Now let's consider the real question. If preaching does not always produce immediate visible results, like some would hope to expect, what good does it actually do? For the last few minutes that we have this morning, I have seven things that Scripture teaches us that preaching actually does. First, preaching saved those saves those who believe. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul wrote to those in Corinth, "It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." God chose preaching as the means by which people hear the gospel. Not entertainment, not worldly wisdom, but preaching and teaching. Then we all know what Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Every sermon plants opportunity for faith. A preacher may never know which sermon, sentence, or scripture finally reaches the heart. A sermon heard today may bear fruit years later. The Ethiopian eunuch, when he was converted back in Acts chapter 8, heard preaching and obeyed immediately when he was taught. However, others heard for years before they ever responded. But no one comes to faith apart from hearing the word of God. Secondly, preaching warns souls. Preaching warns souls. In Ezekiel chapter 3, God described the prophet as a watchman. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 19, Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 19 says there, "Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." The watchman cannot force people to respond. His responsibility was to warn faithfully. Likewise, preaching sounds the alarm against sin, judgment, and eternal separation from God. Whether people listen or refuse, the truth has been declared. In Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27, Paul told the Ephesian elders as he was standing before them, "I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Faithful preaching leaves people accountable before God. Third, preaching strengthens Christians. Not every sermon is for conversion. Many sermons strengthen believers already walking faithfully. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul tells those in Ephesus to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. It builds up. It encourages. Preaching encourages weary Christians. It restores focus. It comforts the grieving. It rebukes drifting hearts. It reminds Christians who they are. A sermon may keep a discouraged believer from giving up entirely. A sermon may convict someone privately, even if they never walk an aisle publicly. Not all spiritual victories happen in front of a congregation. Fourth, preaching plants and waters seed. Paul explained to those in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." Sometimes preaching plants, sometimes preaching waters. Sometimes another person years later sees the harvest from that planting and watering that takes place. You see, the preacher is not responsible for producing growth by human power. God is the one who gives the growth. The preacher, however, must remain faithful in sowing the seed. Jesus taught in the parable of the sower that different soils will respond differently. Some will reject immediately, some may fall away later, and some still may bear fruit patiently over time. But one thing remains constant throughout, no matter the end result. The sower still sows. That seed still gets planted. The fifth thing that preaching still does is preaching reveals hearts. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, we see that the word of God exposes what is inside of people. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 states, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, Preaching reveals humility or pride, repentance or rebellion, softness or hardness. Some hear and tremble, others hear and will resist. But preaching brings hidden things into light, no matter what the circumstance. That's why when Peter preached the very first sermon in Acts chapter 2, the end result of that sermon was that the audience was cut to the heart in verse 37. They were brought to emotion. They had that reaction. The word pierced them. They were cut. And that is something preaching still does even today. The sixth point, preaching glorifies God. You see, ultimately, preaching is not centered on preachers' statistics. As much as preachers would love to have the visible results and see people coming forward and responding to invitations, ultimately, preaching is not centered on the preacher's success statistics. However, it glorifies God because his truth has been proclaimed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, in that second letter that Paul wrote to those in Corinth, Paul wrote, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves." He says it's not from us. Instead, it's Jesus Christ as Lord. Every faithful sermon lifts up Christ. Every reading of Scripture magnifies God's wisdom. Why else do you think you hear those in the assembly when the Scripture reading is read say amen at the end of that? Because it magnifies our Lord and our God. It gives him the glory because his Scripture has been just read to us in the assembly. Every proclamation of the gospel honors the one who gave us that gospel. Even if people reject the message, God is still glorified through the faithful proclamation of his truth. And finally, God's word never returns to him empty. And this may be the greatest encouragement of all, and that's why I saved it for last. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, I invite you all to turn there so we can read it together. God says here, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." If you have the English Standard Version, it reads, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose." God's purpose will be fulfilled through the proclaiming of his word. Notice carefully that God did not say every sermon would receive visible responses immediately. He said his word would accomplish his purpose. Sometimes that purpose is salvation, sometimes conviction, sometimes warning and encouragement, sometimes accountability, sometimes preparation for a future moment only God can see in the future. But the word never returns empty. Never. A preacher may leave the pulpit discouraged, unaware that someone in the audience was deeply affected by the message that he proclaimed. A child may remember a sermon that was preached decades later as they turn into an adult. A struggling Christian may quietly repent at home. A visitor may begin searching the scriptures privately. A hardened sinner may resist now, but soften later. But God sees what the preacher cannot see. So in conclusion, why preach at all? Well, the simple reason and the most important reason is because God commanded it. But in addition to that, because souls need truth, because faith comes by hearing, because the church needs strengthening, because sinners need warning, because Christ must be proclaimed, because the word of God is living and active, and finally, because God promises that his word will accomplish his purpose. The preacher's responsibility is faithfulness in delivering that message. The results belong to God. Paul told the Galatians in Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So preach the word. Preach when responses are many. Preach and teach when responses are few. Preach and teach when you are encouraged and even when you are discouraged. Preach in season and preach and teach out of season. Because as it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the power of the gospel is still the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I thank you for your kind attention. We are now dismissed to our class.